Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling revelry.
No, no.
Sibling revelry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling revelry.
That's good.
Hi, Foo.
Hi.
Babe, you look so funny.
I do.
Well, you've got your glasses
on.
I know.
I had these on from dinner, so.
Yeah, and then you're wearing these earbuds, which you just never wear, so it just looks very strange in your ear.
Well, they like stick out. They're kind of weird.
No, I know. Well, I think the rubber things are too big. It's like you have four ears. It's flying out of your head.
Should I take them out? Oh, honestly, they like don't go in. Remember how the ENT guy was like, you have really small ear canal.
You do have tiny ear canals.
It's like not going in.
I know. You know, it's like our sex life.
It's not going in.
I have a confession to make. When we started dating, if I knew that you had tiny ear canals, we wouldn't have this life together.
After all that.
Yeah.
So I have a question because I never wear them. I kind of like can't really hear myself. Is that normal?
Yes, of course. Oh my gosh. Wow. Like that's proof that you've never worn them, really.
Never done it ever in my life. A, they don't stay in my ear. And I can barely.
Well, we need to get you microscopic sort of rubber things because nothing will fit in your ear.
I need
it's
like
too small.
I need baby ear pods. Like toddler ear pods.
Well, you know, when we continue this podcast, we got to get you just regular headphones because I can't, if I'm away on location, which I am right now in Albuquerque, I can't look at you with these things in your ears. It's just too strange.
Oh.
Hey, Poop, did you know that Mercury retrograde?
Yes, I did know that Mercury was in retrograde, babe.
Yeah, but you know what's bullshit about all that is that Mercury is always in retrograde. Every time I talk to someone, Mercury's in retrograde. Anytime that I have a complaint or an issue or something didn't go right, oh well, Mercury's in retrograde. It's in retrograde more than it's out of retrograde.
Honestly, I think you're probably right. I'd love to like Google that right now, Allison, and see if this is true, because it does feel like it is, but it has to stop because it stops and starts. And maybe there's just like a break in between, but it does feel like it's always.
It happens 3 to 4 times a year.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But it happens 4 times a year for 2 months. So 8 months out of the year, Mercury is in retrograde.
Is it a 2 month run every time?
I don't know, but Mercury doesn't go into retrograde for like one day.
No, it's like a month. Isn't it like a moon cycle?
I don't know. I have no idea. What if we lived on Mercury? Life would suck.
Honestly, due to like the internet and social media, like it's a thing now that people can talk about and blame things on. And like, it's more, you know, I'm sure there's people that are like super into all of that and really know the details and what it means, but.
I mean, well, as you know, my mother is extremely into oracle psychics. Astrologists, you know, or astrologers, no.
Astrology.
What is No, she's not into the stars, but she has people who they read her astrological chart.
Yeah.
And I've grown up with this. So I've been consulting oracles myself for years and years and years. It's probably something no one even knows about me. I've never even ever talked about that, that I like consult psychics.
You do. You do. And you write stuff down and you remember stuff and you go back.
I know. I think it's sort of an ego boost, meaning it just makes you feel better. But I'm always asking questions. So I'm like, well, I mean, do you ever do readings where it's just awful? You know, where, you know, your subject, the person who is paying you, it just doesn't look good. Life is bleak.
It's like,
and it never seems doomed to be that way. Right. It's like, sorry, man. Like, it just doesn't look good for you. You know, life doesn't look, it's like a hard, you're going to have a hard ass life. I guarantee that that never happens.
I don't think people go that big. I think they want to like sprinkle in all the good stuff that they're reading. And then if they flip a card or they read a sign that's not good, they're going to find a way to like gently break it and tell all the other good mm-hmm. stuff. I don't know. I wouldn't want to be a psychic and like find something bad about somebody and have to break
it. I know, but you know, they're, you know, when you get a good one, it's pretty phenomenal. You know, I mean, I do believe that you can tap into something deeper. You know, I think our brains are fresh. You know, there's a lot of capacity that we don't use. And I think some people are gifted in some ways. Not to say that they're always spot on, but there is an intuition, a deeper intuition.
Oh, for sure.
You know, that people might feel. I mean, you know, even consulting on this job that I'm at, in Albuquerque, I had another opportunity to do a pilot or this gig. And then I would, you know, my mom, of course, is calling the psychics. And then I talked to some like crazy psychic that someone put me on to, you know, it's all fucking nuts. But every one of them was like, do that job in Albuquerque. That's the one. I did it.
Here's the thing. The things that they're usually...
And then that other pilot I was deciding on didn't get picked up.
I know.
So it worked.
I also told you to pick this one and not the other one. So I guess I'm psychic.
Yeah, you are. You just wanted new floors.
Exactly. But I will say, like, that kind of stuff, like, I fully believe in it. Like, when it's happening, there's so much stuff that has come true, whether it be, like, empathic stuff, psychic, like stars, astrology, our kids, all of that. I mean, it is, you know,
yeah,
it is fun and it is interesting to like write shit down and then like a few years later look back at it and be like, oh my God, that stuff came true.
Yeah. You take everything with a grain of salt, obviously, you know, but I remember when I was just starting acting in my mid-20s, talking to various psychics. You know, and by the way, to be clear, you know, I'm down, but mom would sort of put me on to him. I would talk to this person. I was like, cool, I'm down. You know, I wouldn't go seek it out or go to some sort of neon flashing sign that says psychic, you know. But when I was in my mid-20s, numerous psychics said that I was not going to be getting my sort of breaks, or my career was not going to be in movies. It was going to be in television.
Yeah.
TV. And at the time when I started movies, that was the shit. Like that was what you wanted to do. TV was sort of, okay, cool. You do TV and you know, you might get a start, but you want to be in movies. That's how it was. Now it's completely changed. But at the time, that's what it was. And I remember thinking, man, TV, huh?
I know.
Now, all I do is television.
Yep. And we're not complaining. It's pretty fucking good.
Oh, I love it.
Didn't they also say you're going to meet like the woman of your dreams? Like her name is going to be Erin.
Yeah. They said that.
I thought so. See?
No, but one astrologer said that you and I have been sort of soulmates for a long, long time. And we have yet to sort of fulfill our destiny because everything in the past, past lives or whatever, just didn't turn out right. You know, I like died in a war, like you died during childbirth, whatever. It just never was fulfilled. And in this lifetime, we finally have come together to sort of crescendo, you know?
I do know that. I do know that story. It feels kind of true.
Kinda.
Well, sometimes when you feel very deserving of something great, it's hard to accept. But sometimes when you think about it that way, it's like, oh, kind of gives it like a light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Allison texted me.
Yes.
About Mercury. The fact is that it does happen frequently. The communication planet goes retrograde approximately 3 to 4 times a year.
Okay.
For 3 weeks at a time. In other words, Mercury is retrograde 18% of the time.
Okay. There you go.
Life is stressful enough. Access to healthcare should not be. Luckily, getting birth control is one less thing you're going to have to worry about. With Pill Club, you'll never have to make a trip to the doctor or wait in line at the pharmacy ever again. They provide access to care from the comfort of your home. So the Pill Club is a birth control subscription. It's prescribed by a medical professional.
The Pill Club carries over 120 FDA-approved brands. Most brands of birth control are free with insurance or Medicaid. Otherwise, prices can start as low as $7 per month without insurance. The Pill Club delivers birth control to your door for free in discreet packaging. What's more, their licensed medical team is just a text away to give you the best reproductive health care.
Skip the office, skip the waiting, skip the line at the pharmacy, and join the club. So right now, when you go to thepillclub.com/sibling, the Pill Club is offering a $10 donation to bedsider.org for every Sibling Revelry listener who becomes a patient. Your donation will help low-income individuals get access to birth control through bedsider.org. That's thepillclub.com/sibling to get your birth control care package and donate to help more women in need of affordable birth control. Remember, thepillclub.com/sibling. You must use this link to make a donation.
Framebridge. I love this brand. Actually, I received from Allison, our producer, an amazing gift. It was a picture of Danny and myself, and it's this picture of us with, like, in our kitchen. There's no gift better than a framed picture, our family. So you go online and you choose your frame, you upload your picture, and it comes just perfectly done. They have all different kinds of frames.
It makes it more affordable than ever to frame your favorite things without ever leaving the house.
So my wife and I, Aaron, we went on and uploaded a photo of the kids, one from Colorado in the summer, and picked out this cool rustic wood frame to sort of match the vibe of the photo, and it shipped right to us. So it was super easy. We loved it.
Add a gallery wall to your home office or send the perfect gift from art prints and diplomas to the photos sitting on your phone. You can frame bridge just about anything. So here's how it works. All right. Open your ears. Just go to framebridge.com, upload your photo, or they'll send you packaging to safely mail in your physical pieces. Preview your item in dozens of frame styles and gallery wall layouts. Choose your favorite or free recommendations from their talented designers. The experts at Framebridge will custom frame your item and deliver your finished piece directly to your door, ready to hang. No hassles. So instead of the hundreds and hundreds you pay at a framing store, their prices start at $39 and all shipping is free. Plus, our listeners will get 15% off their first order at framebridge.com when they use our code SIBLING. Order online at framebridge.com or stop by a Framebridge store to work with a designer in person if you're in New York, DC, Atlanta, or Philly. So get started today. Frame your photos or send someone the perfect gift. Go to framebridge.com and use promo code SIBLING to save an additional 15% off your first order. Just go to framebridge.com, promo code SIBLING, framebridge.com, promo code SIBLING.
Well, Poop, we got a few emails. We're getting into the email
territory. Saw that. I love that.
And I want to read one.
Okay.
Then maybe we can read a few. Okay. Hi, Oliver and Aaron. I've been loving the podcast. Would love if you guys did your own. Mm-hmm. I would love to. I want to do that with you.
Me too.
Okay. I have a question. I've been undecided if I want a third kid. My husband said he's only 38% there. 38%.
38.
And that I shouldn't talk to him about it anymore unless I'm 100%. But I mean, I wasn't even 100% about having two kids. The two kids we now have. Ha ha ha. Are you ever 100%? I love being a mom and I don't feel like I'm done. And closing up shop. What was it like going from two kids to three? Did you both agree on having three kids? I'd love to hear your answers. Thank you both all for sharing.
Okay. I love this question because I get this a lot. And I remember my friend, Leslie Robinson, saying to me, and she has two, she's a little bit like ahead of us in the kid department. And we were debating having a third. And she said, we were debating. We didn't end up doing it. I wish we had another. And she said to me, you never meet somebody that is like, wish we didn't go for the third.
Right.
Or the fourth or whatever. But you do meet a lot of people along the way that are like, God, I wish we had another. So yeah. I think that 38% is, if there's a 1%, go for it. Because honestly, it changes your life in the best way. You expand your heart in ways that you didn't think could be possible. It's such a gift to give to the other siblings. You know, if you have the means to do it, then I say by all means, go for it. And honestly, 2 to 3 was the easier jump.
The thing about kids is like, you know, you get asked a question, what's 1 to 2? What's 2 to 3? You know, having 3 kids, 4 kids, 5 kids. It's a difficult question to answer because you just do it. There is no, oh my God, you know, I mean, yeah, it's obviously work, more work when you bring another child into the light, into this world, and you have another life to take care of. But you don't think about it that way. I mean, I never had, oh my God, it's three and it's crazy. It's just kind of like, oh, it's just what you do. It's just what is your new normal.
Right.
Simple. And I think that's the way you have to look at it as well.
I also think like 0 to 1 is obviously like the biggest game changing experience of your life. There's no way. 1 to 2 was a lot because when you have just one, the idea of managing with a fucking another baby is usually pretty nuts. And if you have them close together, it can be a lot. The third, speaking for us, it was kind of like, all right, we got this. We've done it. Everything gets a little easier. You know, the other two have each other a little bit, maybe depending on the ages, to kind of play or do things. You know what I mean? And then the third just kind of like goes along for the ride. It's at soccer games and in the car and, you know.
And there's always so much stress around the first kid.
Yep.
you know, it's like, how do you do it? What the fuck is going on? You've got this weird little alien crying in a crib or in a, you know, in a bassinet or whatever it is. And you're like, what the fuck? And it's just like insanity. I mean, it's like this alien being that has just infiltrated your life, you know, that you have to take care of and nurture and keep alive. And then by the third kid, you're so calloused, you know, you're so hardened to it. You're like, all right, cool. You don't have that stress. You're not checking their breathing every 2 hours. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, oh, they're good. You're good.
Maybe so, like every three instead. I mean, you still have like all the parenting shit, but you are, everything is much just easier. It comes more naturally. You're less stressed. The third babies, they come out. And because they're not like the end all be all of everything, and they've got other kids and toddlers or things running around, and they're thrown in a car seat to go to a soccer game or school or whatever, it's like they just become, they're just.
Yeah. I mean, it also depends on the sex, you know, I mean, speaking specifically to us, you know, we had two boys and they were 2.5 years apart about. And then Rio, the third, was 3+.
Mm-hmm. 3.5. Apart
from Bodhi, from our second kid. Because we were sort of like, well, what do we do? Do we go for it? You know, we have these two boys, but I wanted a girl. You know, and you wanted a girl.
So I think like I also was turning 40. You know, like at that time I was 39 and we were kind of like enjoying our life and the kids, we were at a good spot and everything was great. And it was like, oh wait, if we're going to go for this, we started to do the math. I was like, even if we got pregnant right away, which doesn't happen for everybody, we were doing the math and I was like, shit, I'm going to be like having this baby at 40 or even 41, which is totally fine and doable. I think we just felt like, oh yeah, like shit or get off the pot. If we're going to do it, let's go for it. And my doctor, Mandel, he gave us the best advice ever because we were like, how do we get a girl? And what are the tricks? And, you know, all that stuff.
And yeah, we did do the tricks.
Well, yeah, but first he said, and I think this is super important, you know, don't have a third for the girl. Like, just know that you want a third human, like three children. Regardless of sex, like, do you want three human beings that you're taking care of? And so when you preface it that way and you really think about it, it's like, okay, yes, we're ready to go from 4 to 5, you know, travel, school, life, expenses, all that shit. And then we just were kind of like, okay, we do want that. So we mentally prepared for three boys. But then we were like, but how do you try for the girl just in case?
Yeah, because we didn't want to spin or, you know, do try to weed out a female. I wanted to do it naturally. And so,
yeah,
I asked Mandel, Aaron's doctor, you know, what are the best chances naturally to have a girl? And he gave me the rundown and it was just a gnarly experience. I mean, it was work because the way it works that it was explained to me is that the male sperm is at the front of the ejaculation. So boom, you come, male sperm, and then the females. The men swim fast and they get up into the spot quickly, but then they die fast. The female sperm take their time and they sort of, you know, just chill and swim up to the spot, and they can last longer. They last 4 to 5, maybe sometimes 6 days. And so the timing has to be right where the egg is dropping, ovulation occurs, and the right sex sperm has to be there in order to have a boy or a girl. And so for me, it was basically having 9,000 orgasms before I actually put my wiener in your vavavuvu, and then basically having to have an eighth orgasm, and it was like dust coming out, but the dust, I guess, were girls. So it was just constant masturbation, you know, and Mandel was just like, well, you're gonna have to give a lot of blowjobs or whatever.
He didn't use that term, but okay.
Well, that's what I heard.
So you translated it?
Yeah, I translated it to that. And I was like, all right, this is cool, you know. So I would have ejaculated like 80 times during that day, and ovulation is happening, you know, and the timing is right. And Aaron's like, okay, now let's go. And I'm like, oh my God. And I needed a shoehorn to get it in because it just, you know, it was next to impossible. I think I remember when we conceived.
What do you mean remember? Of course we did. It was in the sitting room on the ottoman.
Yes, that was it. And it worked. We got our girl.
It worked. Well, we were also ovulation. It depends too, because we were a little early before ovulation.
Right. So the females stay up.
So the females last a little like pre the egg dropping. Right. And so we just got lucky. Yeah. But here's the great thing. This is what Mendel would say. These are just going to up your chances. Scientifically, they're the few things that kind of help. But he was like, if this was like the end all be all, everyone would be doing it. And he's like, so you got like a 50-50 chance at the end of the day. He was like, it's still 50-50. He's like, these are some things that could help, but they're not going to, whatever. So I'm like, did it work or was it just nature? You know what I mean?
Worked.
I know, no, but no. I'm just saying.
I put in a lot of work, so I'm going to say it worked.
Okay.
Each and every.
I'm in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's hot. I applied it this morning. I use it every single day. The others, I've tried them. They don't work. You know, you put a crystal rock under your armpit or, you know, some other kind of a natural deodorant that just leaves you kind of stank. It's been found to fight odor as well as an antiperspirant without aluminum.
When it comes to deodorant, I only use natural deodorant. You've got six simple, safe ingredients. There's no parabens, no artificial fragrances. It's vegan, cruelty-free, comes in a sustainable package made from sugarcane.
It's 9 amazing core scents like coconut and lime, lavender and lemon, cedar and vanilla, which is my favorite. That's my vibe. That's who I am. If you want to understand who Oliver Hudson is, just think of cedar and vanilla.
Honestly, I love this brand. I love these deodorants, and they just get better and better. I just got a new scent today, and I love it.
So find out for yourself why Each and Every has over 15,000 five-star reviews. We have an awesome deal to get you started. 30% off your first purchase of Each and Every. Just go to our special URL, eachandevery.com/sibling, and use promo code SIBLING30. Don't miss out on 30% off. Use promo code SIBLING30. Do it. Do it now at eachandevery.com/sibling.
Oh, but the other thing is with our first two boys, we didn't find out the sex. You know, everyone sort of finds out the sex of your kid, of their kids nowadays, it seems. And we were like, nah, let's keep it a secret. It's sort of the last great secret.
Yeah, it was like the last like great mystery.
It's a mystery, right? I mean, it's primal. It's as real as it gets. You know, we know everything now. We are in an information age. I mean, it's at our fingertips. Anything we want is right here in these fucking phones. There are no more mysteries in life for the most part. And this is that. You know, so my advice to new parents or, you know, a couple who's trying to get pregnant or who is pregnant, just wait it out, you know,
or
you're going to figure out the room. I know you want to, you know, decorate the room and all that stuff, but it's a beautiful thing when you don't know what the sex is and you're guessing and he or she comes out and it's this beautiful surprise. So we didn't find out with the first two. And then we waited with Rio and we were not going to find out. But then we decided to and explain why we decided to.
Okay. Well, I think because we had done two without knowing, and I loved not knowing, I know all my friends hated it, but it is kind of amazing. It's like thinking and guessing and wondering. And I will say, as the birth giver, there is this excitement, especially for the first, maybe, where you really don't care what you have, no matter what. There is this excitement of finding out. Now, I was having a planned C-section, so I thought, I'm missing out on that experience of birth and labor and all of the emotion and, you know, stuff that can kind of go, you know, along with that experience. And I thought, okay, I'm having a C-section. I'm going to get wheeled in. Everything's going to kind of go by the book. It was exciting to think I'm going to be in there. And I remember you sitting on the little like stool next to me, the sheet up in front and the lights, and, you know, we're holding hands and you're right in front of me. And I was like, oh my God, we're going to find out what it is. Like, it was something to look forward to take my nerves away, kind of that excitement. And I loved that. I would not trade it for the world. And we did it again with Bodhi, or our second baby. On the third, because we had two boys and there was just a lot of kind of pressure circulating around, like, oh, I hope it's a girl. Do you think it's going to be a girl? Mm-hmm. Like, I hope you have a girl. Right. And, you know, I know you really wanted a girl. I wanted a girl for you just because, like, I'm so close with my dad. I wanted that father-daughter experience. I started to realize all of this energy is kind of going into this girl, mm-hmm. girl, girl. And I thought, well, what if it is a boy? And, right. you know, there's that disappointment in the delivery room. And now everybody, you know, the truth is there is no disappointment, because if your baby comes out and everything's healthy and great, you're like, I've been blessed. I have this beautiful baby. I don't care if it's my seventh boy. It's like human life. Yeah. It's amazing.
No,
right?
I get all that, but there is disappointment. I mean, how many people have been in the delivery room wanting a certain sex and have, you know, been disappointed? That's just a fucking natural thing, you know, yeah. Taking health aside, healthy baby, of course, but you know, last thing you want is like, it's a boy. And we're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. I know. I think what I decided halfway through was I'd rather know now. And then it's like, okay, if it is a boy, we can love on this boy. Everybody can accept it. It's great. We got over the disappointment window. And now it's like, yay, here's our third boy. Or, right. you know, rather than, you know, just kind of all this girl energy. And there's this little poor baby boy inside of me that's like, oh, great. Like, everyone's going to be disappointed. And then they come out and you're like, you know.
Hold on. The baby inside of you is not having those thoughts. Let's yes. just keep that.
Yes, he was. That's what I thought. Not
listening to everyone outside being like, oh, my God, everyone's going to be disappointed that I'm a boy. Or no.
Just let me go with my maternal thoughts. But anyways, the other thing I will say is that we were lucky enough to do both. And I think that was fucking awesome, because not knowing was such an amazing experience. And I was scared to find out and thinking like, oh, is this going to kind of take away some of the magic and this and that? But it was amazing knowing that what I was carrying. So I did get one pregnancy knowing, and it was fun. It was exciting to know, oh my God, I have a baby girl inside of me. It was such a different experience.
Yeah.
What's she going to look like? And then, oh my God, you can wrap your head around it. So I get why 90% of, you know, women and families or whatever want to find out what they're having. And I get it. I get it as the outsider now that has friends and sister-in-laws and everybody having babies, you want to know because it's exciting. But
remember,
it is really fun.
On Valentine's Day is when we revealed it, right? Was it Valentine's Day?
Yeah, because Wilder, you know, we got the, it was before like, what are they called? Like baby reveals or gender reveals. It was like before
gender reveals. That was not a thing. And we had the nurse write it in a pink or a blue marker. And then we had Wilder, who was the oldest, open it up while we were closing our eyes. And he had to either bring a red rose, right, for the girl.
Yeah, I think it was red rose for the girl, white rose for the boy. You got like two roses. Like that. Yeah.
Right, because he could see the color. He couldn't really read, but he could see the colors, basically. And if it was pink, and then, you know, boom, girl, and it's all on video, and we filmed it. And Bodie, middle kid, Bodie, just fucking storms off. You know, he's like 3 and a half, starts crying, storms off, and I follow him with a video camera. Because he wanted a boy. He wanted to have a boy because he had picked out a name for this boy. And the name he picked out was Monster Truck. He wanted to name the third boy Monster Truck. And he was set in his ways, and it was a girl, and he was just distraught.
Loose, but it was like the best reaction ever because it was like head hung low, like a not like a tantrum, but just like a crying kind of pouty, like disappointment.
Disappointment, yeah.
Yeah, Monster Truck Hudson.
Monster Truck Hudson. Isn't it funny though that that's still who he is?
Oh, totally.
You know what I mean? Like he's stubborn.
Yep.
He's set in his ways.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's the beauty of children. Like, of course they change. You know, we're watching our oldest boy sort of evolve in front of our eyes from a young little boy to a teenager. And it's just gnarly. I mean, it's crazy. Even a year ago, he was just a different human being.
6 months. You know? It is. It's that's so fast to see it happening in front of your eyes.
Right. But they are who they are from the get. When you look back on Bodie, Rio, and Wilder, and you take some of sort of what they did, examples of who they were at the ages of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever.
Babies. And then sort of
babies.
Go and back to babies.
Push it into present day. It's the same fucking thing.
100%. You know, always say this. It's devastating if you have a kid that's like, super, you know, colicky and crying and doesn't sleep and all this stuff. And then you have these new moms and they're like, oh my God, like, you know, does it get better? Like, you know, this isn't who they are, is it? And I'm literally like heartbroken. And I'm like, no, but it is. It's like reality.
Would you have more babies right now with me? Or with, you know, Simon or Ryan Reynolds or whatever. But, like, would you have more babies?
With Ryan Reynolds? No. I mean, not at my age. But, like...
No, I'm just saying, like, if you could, if it was, like, feasible and, you know...
If I was literally, like, 10 years younger and almost 40, probably. If we were younger or if we had started earlier, I probably would. But that being said... I love three. It's so manageable. It's so interesting to ask me that now because I feel like we have literally crossed over to the other side where, you know, it's like Wyatt's having a baby. Kate has a baby. Katie and Jesse, like people all around us, like Angie, my best friend, like they have these littles and, but we've switched into that place of like, oh my God, I don't have the like, maternal instinct urge that crushes me. I feel like the aunt, the outsider that's like, oh my God, I miss these thighs and I miss the cuteness and I want to like love on them. But then I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know? It's like when you're still in it and there's a reality like existing, that's when you ask me that question. But like right now, I'm.
Yeah, I know. Well, we have friends, you know, one of my best, oldest friends, preschool, literally preschool, oldest friend. He's my age and he has two kids who are, you know, I don't know, what are they, 8 and 10 or something like that. I don't know like the exact age, but they're in that range. You're done. Like you did it. Okay. Boom. He has another baby. I think he's, you know, 3 months old or something. And it's so gnarly for me. And I was sort of saying, oh my God, man, you got to start over again. Like, holy shit. I can't even imagine that. But I'm weirdly envious.
Yeah.
Because I would love to be a new dad at 45. Like, that's an interesting concept to me. And in talking to him, thinking prior to the baby being born that it was going to be nuts, it's beautiful. It's so cool and easy. And, you know, it's not anything what I thought it might be, where you're now 80,000 years old with a new kid. And oh my God, it's just,
do you know why?
There's harmony there.
Because it's awesome. Because it's like most things in life, like in retrospect, you made it through, you've done it. You can look at it differently. And it's like that feeling of, cause I look at Wyatt Meredith, you know, how they've, you know, been raising Buddy, and they're just such awesome, kind of comfortable, confident parents, right? So they do it so well that does make me say, oh my God, if I could do it again, I would do it differently. So it's almost like saying, it's one of those things of like, oh my God, if I could go back and relive that time in my life.
When
you're parents and it's new and it's fresh and you don't understand that like teething or sleep training or tantrums or any of that shit's going to pass, you know, when you're so in the thick of it all, now that we're out, you look back and you're like, oh my God, I would be so good now. I'd be so much more relaxed. I'd be, you know, you just.
You know what? You know what? I think we'd even name our kid.
Monster Truck.
Hindsight Hudson.
Hindsight Hudson.
We just call him Hindsight.
Oh my God. Hindy.
Do you have these emails, or do you want me to read?
Read them, because my phone is recording. So if you can read them.
Okay, this is from Craig Carline. As a dedicated podcast listener, I've never emailed any podcast until now. I am at work, night shift nurse at a hospital, listening to the current episode about parenting with Ollie and Aaron, laughing to myself because I can so relate. I am married and have 4 kiddos, 12, 9, 6, and 4. Wow. And we are those parents. We want well-rounded kids that are kind and funny. I can relate to being overprotective of the first, and by the fourth, he watches what they watch. I want them to be well-versed in the amazing hilarity of TV and get the references. I can't help it. I just wanted to say that you are not alone, and I love the honesty with which you both speak about life and marriage and parenting. I just really try to get to know each of our kids and encourage them to naturally find what they're into and support them. We've dealt with dyslexia and ADHD, my one sassy little lady, number 3, with a house full of dudes. Just had to shout out you guys and support your honesty and transparency. Thank you.
Aww. Wow. It's true. Yeah. I mean, you know, the great thing is, it's like, I think one thing that we've learned is, you know, parenting can be this isolating, you know, if you make it, or lonely, or, you know, kind of stressful or judgment, you know, there can be a lot of judgment around it. But when you kind of just go with your gut and you and your partner are on the same path, I think you can, you're just doing your kids, you know, a better service by being relaxed, like, you know, enjoying it.
Yeah.
I look at Meredith and Wyatt and I'm like, God, they're just enjoying it. You know, even like Angie and Arland, I'm like, I know it's round 2 for her, but like, she's so present and enjoying it because she knows how fast it goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like when he said, I just really try to get to know each of our kids and encourage them to naturally find what they're into.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's hard because I want my kids to do certain things. You know, I played, you know, team sports. I played hockey. I played baseball. Like, I want them to play team sports.
Me but too. Just my whole life, you know, through college. Yeah,
you played lacrosse, you know, and they're into singular sports, you know, dirt bike, mountain biking, skateboarding, which is fucking great. But there's a part of me that's wanting them to do that, but I don't push them because, you know, they are what they are, who they are, and they just have to figure out, you know, what they love and what they're into. And we just, our job is to expose them to certain things, you know,
and guide them.
All right, Poop, one more email. And then I have a 6:30 a.m. call, so I got to go to bed.
Okay.
This is kind of a more of a fun one. calling back on a pet peeve of yours that we had talked about in a prior episode. So, hi, Oliver. I just listened to your latest podcast with Erin, and I have a product that will help with Erin's pet peeve of hers. Mm. It's called Beard King. It's an apron wear and attach the end to the bathroom mirror so it will catch all of the beard clippings.
Yes.
I have the same pet peeve and hated when my husband shaved since it got everywhere. He seemed to always do it right after I cleaned the bathroom.
Never
failed. I bought the apron thing, seen on Shark Tank.
Yep.
I love that show. As a gag gift that I figured he'd never use and poke fun at him, but he uses it and we both love it.
Oh my God. You know what's so funny? I remember that on Shark Tank. And it's like this like gray kind of apron thing that goes over the sink. So when you lean over the sink, it catches all the hair. It's amazing. Yeah. But my thing is like, you're never going to remember to do it. And then it's going to be like, oh, I forgot. But I'm going
to
literally.
God, I would never set that up. I'd have to like pull it out of a drawer.
Yes.
Suction it to a mirror.
Yes.
And like attach it to my neckline. And I'm like, now I'm like, zzz. First of all, I'd look crazy. I mean.
No. Here's what we're doing. We're 100% ordering one.
Oh, we're
going to do it. And I am going to photograph it. And I'm literally going to post it because it's a genius invention. King. And I guarantee it was like created by. Frustrated wife.
Oh, for sure. Well, here's an invention that I came up with 1,000 years ago, like maybe even before I met you. And I don't understand why they don't have it. And maybe they do.
The spaghetti?
Not the pasta.
Not the pasta pal. That's what I was going to say.
The pasta pal, I'm going to pitch really quickly. I still don't think it's been done. Had this idea since I was maybe a teenager. It's a spaghetti bowl. There's a sort of a indentation or maybe a cone that sticks up in the middle. You put your spaghetti in there. It eliminates the spoon. You pick up it, your spaghetti, put it in the hole and spin it and boom, you're eating. Fucking pasta pal. Billions. but what about a nail? When you clip your nails.
Yeah.
Right. And we all know that this is another pet peeve of yours. Like toenails is a deal killer.
It's a big one.
If I have long toenails, if I have a clipping of a toenail or a fingernail anywhere, it's just like, it's...
I can barely even clip like my own kid's toenails. I know.
It's not good. Like it's actually bad. Like she gags and it's gross. It's, you know, but why don't they have a nail clipper where there's a contraption on it, where when you clip it, it catches the clipping?
I feel like they probably do.
We put a man on the moon. There's no world where you can't create a thing where you go clip, 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 and it just goes tuck, tuck, tuck into some sort of a catching device. And then you empty that.
There must be. We're going to Google it and find out. And if there isn't, we can figure it out. My thing is, I'm always like, put the basket under your toes, but then the clippings still go outside of the basket. They shoot all over the place. So maybe it's hard to.
So that's another thing that I haven't heard anyone really talk about, you know, even in comedy or whatever, because clipping your nails over a basket is complete bullshit. You might get 1 out of 10 clippings into the actual trash bin, unless you were literally sitting in a trash bin, because they fly everywhere. I catch more clippings in my mouth than I get in the trash.
No. We're not going to talk about that.
I'm just saying like, oh yeah, use the trash bin. I'm like, okay, I might as well just fucking clip nails on the floor. I mean, they go everywhere. You have nothing to say about that.
I can't. I got to like concentrate on something else.
Wait a minute. Allison just texted me something. This could kill our future.
Our invention.
No man toenail clipper catches clippings. Patented agronomic grip.
I knew it.
But I'm looking at the shape of this thing. You're expecting the clipping to go backwards.
That's what I mean.
This is not what
I'm
talking
about. It doesn't work. I know.
It's on Amazon. Well, you know, it's got 500 reviews and it's almost 5 stars.
Wow.
Yeah, Allison just texted. She's like, you know, vacuum. But if you had like a little thing that like battery powers, like
sucked it in.
Like,
I'd be anyway. Down. I'd be down.
Well, let's get the beard. Let's get the beard trimming thing. I will use it. You can take a picture of me and then I'll never use it again.
But Beard King. We're going to use it. We're going to do it.
Beard King.
We're going to do it.
Well, when we start our own show, maybe they can be a sponsor of ours.
Okay. It's a good plan.
All right. I love you.
Okay. I love you too. I know.
Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson and Oliver Hudson.
Producer is Allison Bresnik.
Editor is Josh Windisch.
Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.
If you want to show us some love, rate the show and leave us a review. This show is powered by Simplecast.